Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel according to Mark again as we continue our way through there. But before we read our text, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your Word and we pray that you would help us to understand it, help us to see the truth that you intended by it. That we wouldn't just flitter around the text, but we would really draw near to the heart of your purpose and see the glories that are contained within. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 10 from verse 28 to 31. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Last week, we finished off looking at that section of the rich young ruler, and we talked a little bit about the fact that the rich young ruler was missing the one thing necessary, and that was being poor. He had lots of different things. I need to just fix my camera here. He had lots of different things, but what he didn't have was nothing. He wasn't able to come to Jesus with empty hands and trust in Christ alone. He was just unable to do that because he loved the things of this world more than he loved Christ, and he couldn't let it go. And in response to that, we saw that interaction between Jesus and the disciples where the disciples say to Jesus, "Well, who can be saved then?" Jesus says, "Well, it's impossible for you, but it's possible for God." And then you get this interesting interaction here at the end of the section with Jesus and Peter, and presumably the rest of the disciples as well, where the disciples are beginning to think in their heads, well, this young man, he couldn't give up what he needed to give up to enter, but we ourselves have given up everything. And so Jesus hears the response of Peter. Peter begins to say, we're told, begins to say, effectively, "What about us? What about us, Jesus? That man couldn't give it all up, but we've given it all up." And the underlying principle in the mind of Peter is not, well, we've been saved by grace, so what about us? But his underlying methodology, his functioning principle in his head is, we've given up everything. What do we inherit? What do we earn? And Jesus, in his response, does something very interesting. First, he highlights that it's all of grace. It's all of grace. And you see that in the response of Jesus. Jesus says, anyone who gives up any number of things is going to receive 100-fold back in this lifetime. And you might think to yourself, well, how is that grace? Isn't that just works-based salvation? Peter gives up his house and he receives 100 houses back. Isn't that works? No, it's not. Because if it was works, then when Peter gave up a house, he would get a house back in payment, and everything would be fair. Everything would be done evenly. But that's not what happens, is it? No, Jesus says, anyone who gives up house, brother, sister, mother, father, land, he will receive 100-fold. What's Jesus highlighting? He's highlighting that by God's grace, whoever gives up will get way more than they've ever deserved. Now, you might think to yourself, isn't that the prosperity gospel? Isn't that the prosperity gospel that says, give me your money and God will bless you. Well, no, it's not. It's not what Jesus is saying. Because you need to pay attention to what he says is coming. He says anyone who gives up, yes, will receive a hundredfold in this lifetime. But part of that hundredfold is a great cost. He says, truly, there is no one who has left all these things for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecution. You see, the reality of the lot of anyone who decides to follow Christ is that they will face hardships and difficulties. But they will not only receive hardship and difficulties. And this is the wonderful thing about the grace of God. As he bestows his grace upon his children, he gives them in this very life blessing. Now, it may not be the type of blessing that we would associate with blessing, but he does give blessings. Let me illustrate this in my own life. When I became a Christian, I said goodbye to the great majority of all of my friends because they wanted nothing to do with Christ, because they were not interested in giving up drinking and giving up drugs and giving up other things. No, they wanted to live for themselves. They did not want to bow to King Jesus. And so when I became a Christian, I had to give up all my friends. And yet, God has given me far more friends than I ever had beforehand. It's true. He has given me 100-fold more than I had before. And yet, with that has come persecution. With that has come hardships. With that has come difficulties. And so it's the both and of the gospel in this world. We receive the blessing of God, and part of that blessing, sounds weird to say, but part of that blessing is hardships and persecutions. Why? Because as the apostles tell us in Acts, it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. And so God, in his grace, bestows upon us all sorts of privileges when we come into his kingdom. And yet, he also brings difficulties, challenges, and hardships as he conforms us to the image of Christ. And yet there's one even greater reward yet. And that is that he says they will receive in the age to come eternal life. Now this is a very striking phrase to add on the end here, because we've just been thinking about that with the rich young ruler, haven't we? What did the rich young ruler ask? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now Jesus says, anyone who's given up anything for my sake will receive eternal life. Notice that, receive. He doesn't say inherit eternal life, but he says receive. Why? Because eternal life is a free gift by God's good grace. We give things up in this life for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, and yet we receive something far more glorious. Eternal life. And so the great question for you and I is, will we count the cost? Remember Jesus tells that story. He says, count the cost before you enter the kingdom of God. Because you don't want to be like the guy who starts building his house and runs out of money halfway through and everyone thinks he's pretty stupid. No, you want to count the cost up front. There is a cost associated with entering the kingdom of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I prepared to pay the cost? Because it will actually cost you everything to enter the kingdom of God. It'll cost you your own life as you take up your cross and follow him. It'll cost you lordship over your own life. It'll cost you everything. And yet, what you receive back by God's grace will far outweigh anything that you give up. And not a day will go by in your life where you look back and say to yourself, it wasn't worth it. No, in fact, every day you'll look back and say, it was worth absolutely everything. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your word. And we do pray that you would help us to be able to give up everything and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much, and I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.